Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at denverfan.com. Presented by Siltahar Motors. The car buying experience is as easy as call, click, or come in at Siltahar Motors. Get upfront trade value with one call. Research and compare vehicles at sthmotors.com. Or come in and ask for Greg Larson and get $500 off any purchase. Siltahar Motors. Easy to find and conveniently located right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
The opening faceoff underway here in Denver in round two. Carr gloves it down, had a tough time with it. O'Reilly scores! Ryan O'Reilly picks up where he left off in round one. Rampton hit by Parayko, but Rampton is still on it. Throw to the net, loose puck, they score! It popped out for Nichushkin, and it's tied! Landeskog, as he's falling, made the pass. That shot, they score! Kyrou right back in. Jordan Kyrou drags, scores! Jordan Kyrou ties it. Here's Manson. Girard, his shot tips, save Bennington. Rebound, he got that one too. Kadri had the follow-up, Bennington fell over. Here's Manson. Bennington's reset. Manson scores! Josh Manson wins game one. Kiss you now.
Got about 4 hours of sleep last night. Still rolling. Gonna hit the wall hard here in a couple hours, but right now we're good.
Four? What time did you get up?
I got up at 3:45. Went to bed.
Kinda grumpy today, dude. I didn't get a lot of sleep last night.
But you know what? It was great. I slept good. Fell asleep right away. I think I slept the content sleep of knowing that anybody that wants to call me a jinxie cat, I said they'd cruise through the playoffs. They're 6-0 right now. By the way, when I said that they would cruise through the playoffs, the Western Conference part
they're
of the
5-0.
Playoffs.
5-0. They have a one-game two.
Excuse me, 5-0. I'm getting ahead of myself.
See, there it is. Evan's already chalking it up.
That's how confident I am.
Jinxie, no!
But I said, when I said that they would cruise through the playoffs, I said, yeah, I think they're going to go like 12-4 or something like that through the playoffs in the Western Conference. They're 5-0. They haven't lost yet. You know, for someone who's like, well, how can you call it dominating, cruising through the playoffs when they had to struggle to win last night? Did they win? Did they win? And they're going to face some adversity. They're going to lose a game at some point. I know. It's hard to believe. They're going to lose a game.
Are they?
Well, actually, you know, at times I wonder. Yeah, which just drives home the point of why I'm so confident. Some would say arrogant. Fine, whatever. But you look at what a team like St. Louis, a team that a lot of people think highly of, a lot of people have respect for, you look at what they did, all the things that had to go right for them with their goalie playing well, with the Avalanche hitting five posts, with the Avalanche having 54 shots on goal, but still missing the net on some golden opportunities that they just missed the net. And you wonder, all that went into St. Louis trying to win one game, and they couldn't do it. They couldn't win the game where they had a lot of good things and good breaks going for them. They still couldn't win the game. And that's always been the point that I make about this Avalanche team, at least through the Western Conference Finals. I see nobody beating this team four times. I mean, we're talking about how difficult it is for a team to try to win once against this team. Never mind in one series win four times. Seriously, I ask anybody who sits here and has still some lingering concerns about this hockey team, and you think that I'm getting ahead of myself. Okay, fine. Let me put the question back to you this way. Thanks to our listeners in Morrison for making 104.3 the Fan part of your day. But now answer this question. As you watch this Avalanche team play right now, can you honestly envision a team beating them four times? Sure, beat them once. Maybe beat them twice. But you honestly, in your mind, in your gut, see a team in the Western Conference that's going to beat this team four times?
In the Western Conference, no. I think they're going to the final. But keep in mind, they haven't faced the adversity of a loss or being down two goals yet in the playoffs, right? So things will change at some point. I think last night was a good reminder of no matter how talented you are, how well you play, and how much pressure you can put on an opponent, that there's a bounce of the puck element, there's a luck element, there's being just a hair off, there's just being sloppy on some line changes that can turn the outcome of any given playoff game. And the only caution that I would throw out there from any of your statements, and I agree with you. I've said they're going to win the cup. Kyle McCarr's going to win the Conn Smythe, even though he didn't have an overwhelming, fantastic game last night. The only thing that I would throw out there as a caution is if you watch last night and really break down how completely dominant the Avalanche were, it still took overtime to win the game. So nothing about last night's effort carries over into game two or game three or game four until you get out there and do it. So you have to continue to get up for those games and continue to put that kind of pressure on opponents.
Sure.
And it's really, really hard to do. That's why it's so damn hard to win the cup.
But see, I would look at it. See, I look at it differently. I look at it more from if I'm a St. Louis Blues fan today and I'm like, huh, my goalie. Okay. My goalie stood on his head. We were lucky enough to have the Avs hit the post five times. Eric Johnson had a sure goal. He just kind of fanned on it. Are we going to count on that happening again? We got the benefit of what was probably kind of a ticky-tack holding call on Devontae's late in the game that gave us a power play. We got all these things to happen. We still lost. So if I'm a Blues fan, here's where I'm discouraged. I'm like, we had a lot of things kind of go our way to keep us in a game that we were getting dominated, and we still lost. So, again, I'm sitting at it from the standpoint of how is my team going to beat these guys four times? If I'm a Blues fan, do I take last night's performance as proof that I can beat the Avs in a game or two? Yeah, okay. I can go with that. But honestly, what would make you as a Blues fan this morning make you think I can beat this team? We can beat this team four times.
And this is why sports cliches are cliches, right? How many times have you heard a coach or a player stand up there and say, we just have to win one. We just have to win one. Play one game at a time. We just have to win the next game, right? Because if you break it down the way you're looking at it, yeah, I mean, it's pretty hopeless when you look at St. Louis's standpoint. But the idea of trying to stay alive to get another chance, to get another crack at it, if any of the variables change, right? That's the hope that they have, right? I don't think there's any question the Avalanche showed that they can dominate this team. The challenge is that you still have to do it three more times to win the game, and you have to put the work in to get it done before you can move on. So, I mean, it's completing the process, it's finishing the job.
But is there anything about this team that shows you, that would give you any pause that they don't want to put in the work?
Oh, no, not at all. Not at all. But what was the score of game one against Las Vegas in the second round last year?
I know.
You're in the same situation, and it was a more dominant game one win.
I agree.
Right? So things can happen. I'm not saying that they are in any way at all even likely to, because they're not. But this is why you still have to put in the work and complete the process.
But can I tell you why I just don't want to hear about last year? And the Avalanche are willing to talk about last year, which is fine. But here's why I just don't want to hear, well, you know, you got to think about this because of what happened last year. No, because this team last year did not know what this team knows. This team had to see what happened last year, go through it, learn from it, all the painful lessons that they are applying this year. Last year's team didn't have that luxury. This year's team does. That's why I don't want to hear, well, I pump the brakes because the same thing happened last year. No, it's not the same. It's just not. The team is different. The team is better. The team is deeper. The team is more experienced. And the team just has more understanding of what went wrong. And that's powerful.
The ownership.
And they're feeding. Oh, my God. They are feeding off it. I mean, they are just so, they're not going to let up. That's the beauty of what watching this team. You know, coming out tomorrow night, they're not going to let up.
I think taking ownership of last year's situation is very a very big part of what you're leading into, right? That they won't let up. It's because they've owned it. They're not afraid to wear it. And that's a big positive. Now, it sucked for a year having to eat that and stew about it, but now it's time to reap the benefits of it. And I think they understand that. I keep going back to the entire game was a pretty big flex, but the second period, if they play the way they did in the second period last night, nobody is beating them, especially not four times.
And it's not just the offense. We think about this team, how they come after people on offense, just wave after wave. There were times where, you know, they were doing it defensively, and this was midway through. I made this note with about 8 minutes left in the game before that really ticky-tack call on Taves. But I just wrote down, man, the Avalanche are so active in their defensive zone. They're meeting everybody. They've got active sticks. And they're winning all the puck battles. There's just no room for St. Louis or Nashville in the series before to just get... They never really get... You never get the sense that a team gets... This feeling where, okay, 5-on-5, I'm talking, not on 5-on-5, where they can be like, okay, we've got control. Now it's our turn to go to work on them. Let's put the they're constantly playing defense on offense in the Av zone. The Avalanche are still most of the game dictating the play, even when they're on defense.
Yeah, it's going to take a lot. And I don't know if there's a team out there that can do it. We'll see if they run into maybe Tampa in the final.
I only talk about the Western Conference part of the playoffs. It's cruising through.
I'm curious to see what it looks like when a team is out there that is capable of putting the Avs on their heels a little bit. Because, I mean, let's be honest, even the two goals for St. Louis last night, Avalanche mistakes led to those. It wasn't something spectacular, you know, tic-tac-toe on the tape passing from the Blues that created something that was incredible. The Avs made a couple mistakes. Mm-hmm. The Blues were there to capitalize on them. And, you know, they're a veteran team. They're only 3 years removed from a cup, right? You can't just play sloppy and expect to beat them. But the only way they got on the board was your mistakes. And on the other end, your mistakes cost you 5 goals, 6 more goals just by whiffing, shooting wide, hitting the post. I mean, what are the options of what the score could have been last night? 6-2?
Easily.
8-1?
Easily.
It could have been anything.
How many times have you watched a hockey game where a team hits the post 5 times? Once or twice during a game? Sure. 5 times? 3 in the first period?
It's like somebody was up there saying more cowbell. We're just bing, bing.
Paul and Aurora, listening to the national broadcasters, I can't help but believe there's a subtle anti-Avs bias. Did you pick up that vibe? No. Here's what I'm picking up on. TV broadcasts, TV commentators desperately want to keep you... If you're not an Avs fan or not a Blues fan, they want to keep you in the game. They want to keep alive the idea that you're watching a competitive game. You're watching a game that the other team, even though they're getting dominated, could still end up winning this game. Now, these announcers know how good the Avalanche are. They're just hoping for a series. You heard it during the Nashville series. Game one. I made this note during game one of the Nashville series where the announcers were already discounting Nashville. They spent the whole first game talking about, hey, this Avalanche team, they're on a mission. This Avalanche team, they got the look. They got the look of a team that could end their two-decade drought of winning cups and bringing back the glory to Cup. They got that look. This was game one of the first series against Nashville. So, no, I don't think there's an anti-Avs bias. I just think it's everybody knows how good this team is, and they're just trying to somehow keep interest in a series that right off the bat looks a little lopsided. Keep that alive.
They're also in a studio on the East Coast till past 1 o'clock in the morning.
And they get a little goofy.
Well, they want an interesting game to be engaged in. They don't want to sit there and be up all night having to wait for a post-game show so they can talk about the Avalanche winning 5-1 every time. Like, they want something to be engaging and interesting to talk about. They want some sort of drama. It's a television show.
Let's see. Some more texts. O'Reilly's goal was not due to a mistake. It was due to an unlucky bounce. Makar hardly ever makes mistakes. No, it was a mistake. He went to glove the puck down out of the air, misplayed it, bounced off of him, and it was a juicy, here you go, O'Reilly, make a play. It was a mistake. It's okay. It's okay. Cale Makar is going to go down as the greatest defenseman of all time. One little slip-up doesn't change that. The dude's awesome. But he did make a mistake. It's okay. It's okay. Didn't kill him. It happens.
That's the other thing. We talk about all the positives from last night's win and, you know, the great efforts from maybe unexpected sources, whether that's Manson's game winner or Girard and Byram or anyone else you want to talk about. Lekkonen had plenty of chances. Makar didn't play exceptionally well last night.
No, compared to what we saw in the first series.
What's going
to
happen when Cale Makar plays like he did against Nashville?
Right. Right, right. You know, that's what's so scary. Scott and Parker, not Scott Parker, but Scott in Parker. I don't know. Maybe Scott in Parker can fight like Scott Parker could, but I doubt it.
Maybe Scott Parker lives in Parker.
Maybe Scott Parker lives in Parker. Mike, the only way the Avalanche lose four games in a seven-game series is if they have multiple players out or they have a historical collapse. It's not going to happen. I'm with you in terms of the Avs going to the Stanley Cup Finals all day. Now, notice.
Hello, Jinx.
Nope. Hey, it's not going to happen. Don't worry about it. They're going to, now, but you do notice I'm not as, you don't hear the same swagger when it comes to winning the cup, because I do realize what's happening in the East is far more formidable than what the Avalanche are going to have to deal with in the West. And because I think the Avs are going to go to the Stanley Cup Finals, I'm keeping a close eye on what's going on back East. And there's a developing story here in what Tampa's doing. The two-time Stanley Cup champs, if you're going to dethrone the champs, get them early in the playoffs when they maybe aren't completely engaged in the playoff run. And they're looking at a long playoff run again, having done it the last 2 years, and maybe they're a little susceptible to being knocked off. Problem with the two-time defending champs is you let them keep going deeper into the playoffs. You know what they do? They smell it again. And they're like, ooh, I see the finish line again. Let's go do this again. Because once was fun, twice was awesome. Can you imagine what three times would feel like? And they just handed Florida their lunch last night. So I'm keeping a close eye on Tampa right now because they're starting to gain steam.
Well, that game was close going into the third period and early in the third, and then they kind of pulled away late.
It was kind of close, like Avalanche Blues was close.
Yeah. I'm interested to see. I know you've already written off the West.
Yes, I have.
But I am interested to see tonight, after the way Calgary just absolutely peppered Dallas in that Game 7 against Edmonton, how wide open and the speed of the game is tonight, because in the first round, you know, watching Toronto and Tampa play, I could see hockey that was similar to what the Avalanche player are capable of playing. I thought that was played at a really high level. And watching Calgary in that Game 7, the way they were just dominating and all over the ice and way faster than Dallas and the way Edmonton likes to play, I am interested in seeing tonight how fast the game appears compared to the way the Avs play.
Yeah.
Because I think it's going to be pretty wide open between these two teams. And that's the one thing across the board. When I looked at all the first round series, I was just looking like these teams can't play at the level the Avalanche are capable of playing. And now that we've moved on and you've got some pretty powerful offensive teams with some skill, I think Calgary and Edmonton has a chance to be pretty wide open and entertaining.
That's a great point you make, and I will be watching that series with interest too, because I think when you're Canadian teams and you're favored, there is so much pressure on these Canadian teams. There is so much pressure up there for these Canadian teams. It's what made what happened to Toronto so devastating again. But when you're heavily favored like Edmonton and Calgary are, and you're playing teams like LA and Dallas that are just, they're there to survive. They're not there to go toe-to-toe with you. They're going to try to play defensive hockey. They're going to try to frustrate you. And you already got all this pressure on you because you're supposed to win. Now you got all this pressure from a whole country that's expecting you to win, wants you to win. And now you got the pressure of trying to go up against a team that's really not trying to go toe-to-toe with you. It can be frustrating to try to get through a series like that. Now that you get through it, do you exhale? Do you kind of like, okay, we're past that. Now we got another team that we're going to face that we know really well, and they're willing to skate with us. Here we go.
They're facing the same pressure in terms of a Canadian team with expectations, but I think both teams will now be allowed to play the way they prefer to play.
I agree with you. Let's see, some more texts. Blues fans, me included, says this texter, this is Mike in Westminster, can hope for this scenario. We almost stole game one. With some adjustments, the shots on goal will be more balanced, and the Blues are better shooters, and you can't expect to have 0-1 penalties every game, and the Blues' power play is excellent. Still a reach, I'll admit, but I still think it's going to be a contest.
Well, the Avs allowed one power play last night. Right? So that's a huge part of the series. We talked about it going in. If they can play that clean, it's going to be really, really difficult for St. Louis to do anything more than two goals a game.
And a lot of storylines to come out of this. Gary Bettman was in town. The commissioner is in town. Commish, if you're listening, the crew that you had working the game yesterday, perfect. Perfect. They let him play. The game moved. Great pace. Very little whistles, three power plays, that's it. And you can even argue that as few a penalties as recall, there were still a couple of ticky-tack penalties. So, beautiful. Awesome. Can you make all your games like that? More of the players just playing and deciding it themselves, less of the officials blowing the whistle. I thought it was awesome. Let's hope we get more of that. We're going to get more of Sandy Clough, the legend. Who was on immediately following the game. He's had a chance to sleep on it. He'll give us his thoughts on the Avalanche and the Blues coming up next.
Bow chicka bow wow. It's Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station. 104.3 The Fan.
I just want to stay. There he is. There he is. Hewitt, bow chicka bow wow. He's the guy. He's the original Dr. Zero. I'm just a weak substitute. It's the one and only Sandy Clough, who, of course, you hear on all of our Avalanche postgame shows, as you heard again last night. All right, Sandy, you've had a chance to sleep on it. Not a lot of hours, but a chance to sleep on it nonetheless. What were your general impressions of game one?
I thought it was an extremely well-played game, a clean game. The Avalanche initiated more hits, ended up with close to 50 hits in the game. I thought their timing was a little off in the first period. First period was pretty even, but the Avalanche, let's face it, they were just about as dominant against St. Louis tonight, or last night in game one, as they had been against Nashville the previous round. And we saw a rare thing last night. We saw the defense pairing of Makar and Taves both have subpar games. And the best game that certainly Manson and Girard have played together all year. Girard might well have been the best player on the ice. I think that's a good sign for the Avalanche that they can win without MacKinnon on the score sheet and with Makar having a subpar game, definitely. Taves took a late penalty that was maybe a little bit controversial. But all in all, I thought they were great, and they did not get frustrated, much as was the case against Nashville in Game 2.
And Kadri especially, right? Kept his emotions in check. Sandy, I think you hit on the two points that I was making that we were talking about yesterday. The St. Louis depth with the 920 goal scorers, if the Avalanche can play even or win against the third and fourth lines and not let those guys really play catch up to the top two lines and also keep St. Louis off the power play, if the Avs do those two things like they did last night, how is St. Louis going to find any answers?
It'll be hard for St. Louis, I think, to win more than one game, maybe two. And what I noticed last night, we talk about all these 20 goal scorers the Blues have. Perron was invisible, had one shot on goal in 68-plus minutes. Tarasenko and Thomas, between them, had no shots on goal and basically had a lot of zeros across their lines in the box score. Those are three important players for the Blues, and they did nothing last night. The only forward the Blues had last night who was even slightly dangerous was old friend Ryan O'Reilly. That was it. And the Blues, without Krug on defense, really don't have enough juice to keep the Avalanche playing at full speed and completely healthy. They don't have enough juice back there really to bother the Avalanche very much. I mean, you end up with 54 shots on goal. Bennington was great, but I know he's won a Stanley Cup. I just can't believe that he'd play that well in any game for the rest of the series again.
You know, Sandy, you and I haven't had a chance to talk about this because we're on at opposite ends of the spectrum here, but I've been catching a lot of grief because I guess I have so much confidence in this Avalanche team that people think I'm jinxing them because I'm so confident that they're going to really just kind of roll their way through the Western Conference part of these playoffs. That's how I feel. How do you feel?
There's no reason to feel otherwise, frankly. St. Louis is a different team than it was last year, even with some of the injuries it has. Perron didn't play in the series last year. But you didn't notice him last night, and I just think there's a relentlessness about this team. I don't think they had a Lehkonen last year, for example. I thought you could have argued last night that any one of three players were the best players on the ice for the Avalanche. Landeskog, Lehkonen, Girard. And you know something? Not one of them got one of the three stars of the game. Not one of them. Manson and Girard, the two defensemen they were worried about, right? Observers were worried about, including perhaps the three of us going into the playoffs. They were great last night. They were the best tandem on the ice for either team defensively. And if you can get away with winning on a night when the goaltending's okay but not great, and your defense tandem that is made up of two of the top five defensemen in the sport, that tandem in both cases have subpar games, I just can't envision a scenario in which anyone beats them four times. I'm more convinced after last night that we're going to see the Avalanche and the Tampa Bay Lightning in the Stanley Cup Final.
The way that game looked last night, especially the second period, Sandy, I said if the Avs had a week off and only played once a week, nobody would ever beat them with the fresh legs that they had. But that's not going to be the case going forward. So let's just say there's not quite the jump in the step in game number two tomorrow night, and St. Louis adjusts to muck up the game a little bit. How does that look? How are they going to be able to do that to slow it down a little bit and give themselves a chance? Because honestly, Sandy, if St. Louis doesn't win game two, I don't see this going past five games.
I don't either. And that was kind of what I thought the Avalanche might be a little vulnerable last night. And, you know, I have to give St. Louis some credit, too. And I think we all should recognize that, you know, St. Louis won a Stanley Cup 3 years ago. They're not chumps. They're not going to go away. There will be other games in this series like the one last night. In fact, I think Mike understands this because we covered series in 2001 that were like this, including the Stanley Cup final against New Jersey, in which it was a long series, but the games really weren't especially close. New Jersey won three games pretty easily, and the Avalanche won four, as it turned out, pretty easily. There was a lot of drama, of course, around Ray Bourque winning the Stanley Cup. But I think this series could kind of be the other way around. I'm not sure it'll be a long series, but I think the games will be tough and competitive. And, you know, O'Reilly, I have to admit, has evolved into, I think, one of the best five two-way players in the sport. And he raises his game in the playoffs. We saw that with Chris Drury back in the day. Ryan O'Reilly does it. But I just can't get over, and maybe this doesn't continue, but it was a great sign in the first game to see Girard especially really have command of the game. Every time he was on the ice, he didn't make a mistake all night. And when Girard can camouflage his physical shortcomings by asserting himself offensively, we've been kind of waiting all year for Girard to play like this. When he can play like he played last night, where is the weakness you can attack? And the Avalanche established last night, St. Louis can't do anything about the speed that the Avalanche bring to bear. And if the Avalanche are physically engaged and as fast as they were last night in the first game, you know, St. Louis may get one, even two games along the way, but I just can't see this series really turning that much. Sometimes your best chance to get into a series is to win game one, and the way the game unfolded, you know, there were a lot of nervous people going into that overtime with St. Louis scoring a late goal. And I see one weakness with the Avalanche. It's on the penalty kill. Even the faceoffs last night, fellas. The Avalanche were 34-19 on faceoffs. Yep. Yep. When was the last time we saw that? Yep. The penalty kill is a problem. You know, Taves took a penalty that might have been a 50-50 call, but under the circumstances, probably should have been smarter. They had a terrible line change. Yep. At the end of the penalty, when they basically thought the penalty would end, they changed lines. And frankly, I know Bednar thought that Kemper played really well. That's the kind of goal that Kemper's been letting in through the years in the playoffs. And it could have been costly last night. But, you know, once the overtime period started, they outshot St. Louis in overtime 13-0 in 8 minutes and 2 seconds. 13-0.
All right, Sandy, great stuff. Look forward, we'll be hearing you again tomorrow night, right after game two, right at the final buzzer. You'll be on with the Avalanche post game show. Thank you, my friend, for getting up early. Appreciate it.
My pleasure, guys. Thank you.
Sandy Clough. Danny Clough seems to agree with me about this Avalanche team in the Western Conference playoffs. Hey, Fever, you want to call Sandy a JC Cat? Go ahead.
Bow chicka bow.
Ah, see, you won't take on the great Sandy Clough. I don't blame you.
Let it go, man.
I wouldn't take on the great Sandy Clough either. Good stuff there from Sandy. All right, so There's the optimism. You've heard it from me. You've heard it from Chad. You heard it from Sandy. Sandy, of all people, is very optimistic. Avs fans, did last night change the way you view this series moving forward? That's next.
You're listening to Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Thanks to Sandy Clough. I'm glad he brought this point up. I had this written down in my notes, and again, at the risk of sounding overly cocky, this is what makes this team so special. Think about this, Chad. You're an Avalanche team that has dominated for two periods. Well, a period in the last 5 minutes, right? And despite all that domination, you get that holding call on Devontae's. Okay, maybe a call that, or maybe a play that he shouldn't have made, but I put that more down as a call that shouldn't have been made. Then you get caught with a bad line change. And by the way, I can't totally blame, well, you ultimately blame the Avalanche for the poor line change, but I can kind of see where it happens. As I'm keeping track of the game and I'm making notes of the game, I thought the penalty was killed. When Gerard made the play and chipped it out, I started to write down. It's written right there. I ended up crossing it out. I said, great PK. I wrote down great PK because I thought it was, but give credit to St. Louis. They turned the puck back the other way, caught the Avalanche in that line change. The Avalanche were scrambling, ends up in the back of the net. It's 2-2. So think about that. It's 2-2 in a game that you've dominated. It's 2-2, and you're getting ready to go into overtime. If this was at all a mentally weak team, if this was all, at all a team that questioned themselves, did they come out in the overtime and outshoot St. Louis 13-0? They just took what happened to them at the end of that hockey game, shrugged it off. Okay, not ideal, not what we planned. Doesn't change anything. Let's go win this hockey game. And they outshoot them 13-0 in overtime.
Yeah, really.
That tells you something about what this team is made of.
I think it's a good reminder to the fans in particular, but even to the Avalanche last night, that you can't be sloppy at all and expect to cruise through playoff games. And they understood, all right, that happened, and we made the mistake. We're accountable for it, and now we're finding ourselves in a position that we have no business being in. Quite honestly, the way this game has gone, we should have had a 2-3 goal win comfortably, but that's not the case because we made one or two mistakes. But again, they're mature enough to own it and go, all right, well, let's fix it. And a 13-0 shot advantage in the overtime. And really, the puck was in the St. Louis end the entire night. Overtime was no different than what the second period was, right? It was just, I think, a little bit of a reminder of you can't let off the gas. It takes a lot to finish the job and close out any playoff win. So, thankfully, they were able to do it, and it didn't end up burning them. But, you know, it keeps them in line a little bit.
It does.
Finish
it does.
The job.
Yeah, it does. And it is, and that's what the beauty of it is, that you got a couple of moments, teaching moments, coaching moments for Bednar and the staff to say, hey, man, that was awful. What a terrible line change. We can't have that happen. Look what can happen. But whatever painful lessons they had to learn, to me, are just outweighed exponentially by the idea that, hey, here's a team that did make a mistake, pretty bad mistake, cost them, and now they find themselves in that locker, that dressing room in between periods there before the overtime. Be real easy for everybody to start to kind of tighten up a little bit. Like, I can't believe we're in this situation. I can't believe we're one bad bounce or lucky bounce away from losing this game. They just shrugged it off. Yeah, it was a mistake. Okay, own it. They owned it instead of hanging their heads about it, you know? And that's that. And the way they came out and handled the overtime and the way they dominated the overtime, 13-0, hey, it should make you feel really good, because it shows that this team is made of some really good stuff upstairs between the years. Really good stuff.
I don't know that tomorrow is going to look anything close to the same just because they don't have the benefit of 8 days of rest. I think the game will be a little bit slower, but I don't know what St. Louis is going to try to slow this team down. But if they don't, again, maybe they get one of the games in St. Louis, but to ask them to win more than that, if the Blues don't win tomorrow night,
mm-hmm.
it's five, maybe even four. And I predicted Avalanche in six,
yeah.
but I think to get to six, St. Louis has got to figure out some way to win the game tomorrow.
Yeah. Yep. I agree with that. I went into this series, Avs in six, and I went into this series. I said it here yesterday. I got some respect for St. Louis. I think they're the toughest team left in the Western Conference. So that was based on the idea that we would see some of that mental toughness from St. Louis. Okay. Here you go, Blues. It's on you. What do you got for us tomorrow night? Because I'm with you. If the Avalanche come out and win tomorrow night, this series is over in five. They're not going to lose. The Avalanche are not going to, like last year, don't bring up last year with me, they're not going to go up 2-0 and go to St. Louis and have the same thing happen to them in St. Louis that happened to them in Vegas. It's just not going to happen. It's not going to happen. This team is too mentally tough from the painful lessons that they learned. It's not going to happen. So if you're the Blues and you want to make this a series and you want to show people that you could take the Avs to six or seven, what do you got for us tomorrow night? Because I know the Avalanche are going to come on and play well. They're gonna, I mean, the Avalanche aren't going to let up. No way. This team is too locked in. They're not going to let up. So what do you got, Blues?
I don't know. I don't think we're going to see the tilted ice and the dominance that we saw last night. I don't think it will be as one-sided. But that said, the Avalanche missed a lot of IEC opportunities. So they could play a much less dominant game and still dominate the scoreboard or dominate the shots on goal because they put a lot of pucks wide. They put five off the post, right? I mean, they could win a 4 or 5 to 1 game tomorrow, but be much less dominant than they were last night.
Here's the beauty of last night. Here's what's scary if you're St. Louis. Okay, these are all guys who did not score a goal last night. Nathan McKinnon, Gabe Landeskog, Mikko Rantanen, Nazem Kadri, all did not score goals last night. I guarantee you, each one of those guys I just mentioned, privately, alone, in their own thoughts, went home last night, laid down, got ready to go to bed and thought, I should have had one tonight. Man, I should have had one tonight. Oh, man, I can't believe I missed that one. That's what's scary. The Avalanche put 54 shots on goal, and some of their best players probably went to bed last night going, man, I should have had one.
I don't think it's only their best players. I mean, Lekkonen should have had a goal.
Lekkonen, too. Yeah.
Should have goal.
He should have
had a goal last
yep.
night.
Yep.
At least one.
So that's what's scary is on a night in which you dominated, put 54 shots on goal, had like another 30, 35 shots that missed the net or were blocked, is that this team has another gear offensively when it comes to finish. And that's scary. That is scary. Hey, thank you so much for sitting in these last 3 days. I truly appreciate it. Always enjoy chopping it up with Lodo, Chad.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
We haven't talked hockey in a long time, not at this level.
Who wins the PGA? Does Tiger make the cut?
Yes, Tiger will make the cut, just like I said he would at the Masters,
yes,
and he did.
Right, you're right. Yeah.
Tiger will make the cut. Maybe a top 40
yeah.
finish for him. I think that would be encouraging. Winner?
Nice. Winner?
I think you got to go with one of the more milquetoast,
yeah.
consistent guys, right? Nobody that's really electrifying.
I'll say Colin Morikawa.
Oh, okay. That's a solid pick. Can't go wrong with that one. All right, we're done. Stink's back from Alaska tomorrow. Welcome the big fella back. Get ready for Chad and Nate. They're coming your way next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.